Hoops Talk with Saul J. Morgenstern. Fans, friends, I apologize for the delay. I have had an illness. I have been recuperating slowly. I have had quite the seasonal cold. It started in the throat. It went to the head. It went down into the chest. It went down into my gut, into my colon. My whole body's been ravaged, and so it's been a long time since I've been able to get here to the studio where I record my radio podcast. So thank you for bearing with us. We will have more frequent episodes in the future. Anyway, we're now about 30 games into the NBA season. This is a good time, around Christmas time, around the holiday time. This is a good time to check in and to see what's happening around the league. So here we are with another episode of Hoops Talk with Saul Morgenstern. Hey Saul, this is Nicola calling from Colorado. Calling about this team, the Lakers. 24 wins, 3 losses. Everybody getting very excited about this team, the Lakers. You know, LeBron, of course, people going to talk about LeBron. And, you know, AD after the trade, wonderful, playing wonderful. So everybody, Lakers, 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 24 wins, going to win 70 games, challenge the record, etc., etc. Let's stop for a minute. Let's stop for a minute, everybody. Saul, I want you to talk people down, okay, from this Lakers going to be king chatter. Because who have they beaten? Okay. Of their 24 wins, I look at the schedule and I look at the wins. Of the 24 wins, the only wins I see against Denver, yeah, solid win at Denver. That's a tough place to play. Okay, all the other wins should win. Okay, at Miami, Miami's been good. They won by 3 points. Okay, all the other wins they should win. Nothing surprises me. Nothing surprises me here. They lose to Toronto, good team. Okay, they win in overtime at Dallas. Okay, they lost opening night at Clippers. They have not played the best teams in the NBA. Okay, so 24-3, wonderful, good. I am not surprised. They could have 22, 23, 24 wins. This is what you should expect. So when people say Lakers going to win the championship already, it's December, it's early December, I say, give me a break. Let's wait until they do it against the best. Let's see them play Milwaukee Thursday night on TNT. Let's see them play the Clippers on Wednesday, the Christmas Day. Let's see them play Denver again Sunday, the 22nd of December. Okay. Before we call them the Kings, right? Before we call them the champions, 27 games into 82-game season. The playoffs so far away. So I'm just a little tired of the chatter about the Lakers going to win it all. It's too early for this. Okay, so I'll talk the crazy fan down. Thank you. This is Nicola from Colorado. Well, thank you for the call, Nicola. Let me start by saying the Lakers are on a 72.8 win pace. This would tie the Golden State Warriors' 73 wins for the most wins in NBA history. Being 24-3, you know, it's nothing to sneeze at. I mean, let's just take it for a second here. 27 games in, 24-3. Meanwhile, the Bucks are 24-4 on a 70-win pace themselves, almost 70-win pace themselves. But the Lakers, 24-3, yes, very, very impressive beginning to the season. Now, Nicola mentions they haven't beaten the best teams in the NBA yet. And Nicola would be right. If you're talking about the top five teams, 1 through 5 in the NBA, that includes the Lakers, they're 0-1. They're 0-1 in those five. 0-1 in those five, okay? And that loss would be to the Clippers. So they haven't yet played the top, top tier of the NBA. And it's fair to say, we don't know how dominant they really are yet. What we know is that they can beat everybody, except for that top tier, very easily. Very easily, okay. They are 4-2 against the 6 through 10, and they're 6-0 versus the 11 through 16 teams. So, bear in mind, 73-win pace, and certainly dominating most of the NBA so far. Now, they've got quite a slate coming up this week. As Nikola mentioned, they've got the Bucks, got the Nuggets, they got the Clippers. Those are going to be three interesting games. Mind you, all on national TV, TNT, on Thursday versus the Bucks, and Sunday NBA TV versus the Nuggets, and then next week on Christmas Day, ABC against the Clippers. Many will take that Clippers-Lakers game on Christmas Day as a weather report, so to speak, on the top two in LA. Now, what is there to love about this Lakers team so far? Well, let's just start by saying that LeBron James is averaging nearly 11 assists per game. Okay. 26, 11, and 7 rebounds. What else is there to say about that? That's a gigantic assist number. Now, is he going to maintain that the whole year? Probably not. Would Frank Vogel and the brass in LA be wise to hold back on LeBron and AD come February and March? Yes, they would be. Is this team probably winning 70 games? Highly unlikely. More likely they flirt with 65. Okay. Does it matter? Well, it matters for this reason to LeBron. He heard the rumors about being washed, that social media, viral hashtag thing they do, and he's washed up. They said LeBron's washed. King is washed. Washed King, I believe it was. So he's trying to prove something. I'm not done yet, okay? I'm not the, don't put me out to the pasture just yet. He's trying to prove something. And in these 27 games to open the year, I think he has proven that. Now, what about Anthony Davis? After all the shenanigans and all of the ups and downs and the holding out and the wanting the trade last February and the nothing, you know, it was a mess. It was just a mess for Anthony. Here he is, AD, coming back, averaging 28, 9 boards, 2.5 blocks, 1.5 steals, but more importantly, still shooting 50%. He's hitting 32% of his threes. He's hitting 86% of his free throws. My goodness, he's been efficient. Okay, scoring efficiency at 1.42. That's his scoring efficiency, 1.42. Folks, that's an insane number for anyone who's taking, you know, this many shots per game. So, despite the fact he's only shooting 32% from three, he's still shooting 50% from the field. And he's scoring, you know, 28 points a game. LeBron and AD working out pretty well together, you'd have to say, so far. That's all I've got to say about the Lakers. Enough about them. Let's see what happens on Christmas Day. All right, Nikola? Okay.
Hello, Saul. This is Sven. I'm calling to ask a question about the NBA season. I stumbled upon your podcast, radio podcast. I stumbled upon it and I wanted to know some questions about the NBA season. And to be honest, I know most people, they use a Google search or something to find the answers. I don't have internet. I'm calling from remote location in Sweden, and this is not good internet area. So mainly I don't have internet. I just have phone, and this is why I'm calling you, Saul, to ask about NBA. I just recently became interested in NBA. In Sweden, there are a few players in the NBA, and they've been on the they play their games sometimes on delays. So I've been watching a little bit of Swedish NBA players, and I want to know a little bit more about NBA season. One question I have is, how many games in season? How many games in NBA season? First question. Second question, who is the best Swedish player of all time in NBA? Who would you say hero of Swedish NBA? And third question, do you think age 42 is too old to begin training to play in NBA? I know most players in NBA age 20, 25, some are 30 years old, but I am a little bit older and I'm 42. I love basketball. I'm wondering, is it too late for me to begin training? Okay, Saul, thank you very much. Sven from Sweden, I'll speak with you later. Thank you for answering my question.
Okay, that was Sven from Sweden. Thank you for calling in from your remote location with only a phone line. Sven, here's the information. So first off, your first question, there are 82 games in the NBA season. Now, that's a lot of games, and we're only about 30 games in so far, so we've got a long ways to go. Not even at the halfway point so far. 82 games in a season. Now, they're talking about lowering that, which they need to do. It may be down to 78 in a couple of years, but they're going to be adding these mid-season tournaments and such. So, Sven, 82 is the number I'd expect, maybe 80, maybe 78. Okay, in the future. Second question, who's the best Swedish player of all time? You said best Swedish players. There's one right now. That's Jonas Jerebko. And he's currently the only. He's the only Swedish player. He's played for a handful of teams, the Celtics among them. He's now on the Warriors, struggling to remain afloat there. But Jerebko is the only Swedish player. So he'd have to be the best in NBA history. You know what, actually, he's not in Golden State anymore. He was last year. He's currently on BC Kimki. The heck is BC Kimki as I'm looking here? BC Kimki is the Russian professional basketball team based in Kimki, Moscow. Okay, so he's in Russia now. Sweden, best Swedish player Jonas Jerebko was on the Warriors. Before that, the Celtics, is a wonderful player, role player, very energetic. He does some things with the esports, from what I remember. Anyway, last question you had, Sven, was, is 42 years old, is it too late to start training for the NBA? I hate to break your spirit, Sven. I hate to ruin your dreams, but yes, I'm going to be honest with you. 42 years old is about 30 years too late to begin training. Even if you were a world-class athlete, very little hope of even cracking a summer league roster at age 42. Okay, so let's just enjoy the game from afar. Let's not make ourselves into some kind of superhero here. Okay, now thank you for your question, Sven. Best of luck to you in Sweden.
Hello, Saul. My name is Simeon. I am calling to ask you about some NBA trends I have noticed and some questions related to efficiency. Okay, first question. Teams playing with super fast pace. The Washington Wizards, the Atlanta Hawks. These are teams that seem to have amped up their pace considerably. In the last year. It's only a 20-game sample size. It's only one quarter of a season. But I'm wondering, do you believe that this team, the Wizards, this style of play, where you're playing essentially offense-only players, running as fast as you can, trying to put so many points on the scoreboard, games that often end over 140 points, 150. James Harden scoring 60 points in three quarters against, I believe it was the Hawks. And granted, the Hawks have been injured. And the Hawks are very young, and without John Collins and their other injuries, they've really been decimated. And I understand some of this is circumstance. My question about this pace is it sustainable? I wonder if injuries are going to be more prevalent when you have players just running at full speed, playing little defense, pushing the ball, pushing the pace. I don't see it. I don't see it catching on this way. I'm perplexed. I need answers, Saul, about the Hawks and the Wizards. And I will, when I have a moment here, I will add their efficiency numbers and their pace numbers and comparing to last year, comparing to league average and such. Okay, thanks so much, Saul. Now back to work for me. Okay.
Simeon, thank you for calling in to Hoops Talk. Your question about NBA efficiency trends and the Washington Wizards and their up-tempo insanity over there. Just a few general thoughts here. No, in general, it's hard to maintain this kind of a pace over an 82-game season. The Wizards are running as fast as they possibly can up and down the court like they're on video game turbo mode, trying to just outrun the other team before, even if they take the ball out of the hoop, you know, go out of bounds, pass it in, they're trying to just blitz you down your throat, exhaust you. Okay, that's what they're attempting to do in Washington, and their pace is no longer first in the league, amazingly. It is currently second to Milwaukee, who's also just running down your throat. The difference is Milwaukee plays great defense, and Washington doesn't know what defense is. Okay, their offense is all they've got. They're like a designated hitter times five on the basketball court. What are some trends to notice about what they're doing? Well, Davis Bertans is one of the amazing stories of the first quarter of the season. He's jacking up threes with zero hesitation. Okay, he was efficient in San Antonio. When the Wizards signed him, people didn't blink. They didn't think much of it. Here he is taking how many? Something insane. Eight a game. He's just jacking them, and he's hitting 50% practically. I mean, it's wonderful. With people in his face, doesn't care. Tall, lean, high release point. Nobody can touch it. Okay, so he's essentially doing, you know, what Ryan Anderson did in Houston, but he's athletic and he's young, this Davis Bertans. He can run. So you can run and then spot up from 30 feet. You're a weapon, all right? And you're not taking a pounding underneath because no one on your team's playing any defense. So the Wizards, fun story, you know? Not as absolutely atrocious as people figured because they're just running it down your throat. Now, their defensive efficiency, I hesitate to even use the word efficiency. Defensive deficiency would be more accurate. You know, they're the worst in the NBA. They're worse than the G League Cavaliers. They're worse than the G League Pelicans. They're worse than the G League Hawks and Knicks. I mean, to be worse than those quartet right there, New York, Atlanta, New Orleans, Cleveland, that's saying something. But I do have to say for my, my relatives, I got some relatives in the D.C. area who are still watching this team, it's fun, okay? It's fun to run. It's always been fun to run. You got Rui Hachimura, you got Ish Smith, you got Mo Wagner. In addition to Bertans, you got Bradley Beal shoving it down your throat. You know, this team, they've got some fun stuff. So all that being said, no, not sustainable. Yes, fun. Enjoy your Wizards while you got them. Who knows what's coming next? All right. Thank you all so much for listening again to Hoops Talk with Saul J. Morgenstern. Until next time, keep hooping. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.